This audio file is an overview of the theoretical perspective of Dr. Claire W. Graves, the foundation beneath the spiral dynamics approach and applications. This is mostly a reading of his words, as recorded or written, and is intended to accompany the 1981 and 1982 handouts, which are available for study on the www.clairewgraves.com website. You probably know already that Dr. Graves referred to his work by several titles. Perhaps the longest was this one, The Emergent Cyclical Phenomenological Existential Double Helix Levels of Existence Conception of Adult Human Behavior. He used that one in 1978. Later, he referred to his work as The Emergent Cyclical Double Helix Model of Adult Biopsychosocial Systems Development. He also used simply EC theory as a shorthand title referring to emergent cyclical theory, as well as levels of existence theory. Frequently, he simply spoke of my point of view. We often call it ECLET, E-C-L-E-T, short for Emergent Cyclical Levels of Existence Theory. Whichever title you prefer, the Gravesian point of view still provides an elegant framework for exploring human nature in all its aspects, the biological and neurological, the psychological and temperament elements, the social and cultural aspects, and the integrative systems thinking view, which lets us pull all those chunks together and understand how these adaptive systems fit our ever-changing world. From this point of view, there is no such thing as fulfillment of self. There's no such thing as the right way for a human being to live. There are only ways that human beings live depending on the conditions of existence in which they happen to be, and the character of the human brain with which they are possessed. According to Dr. Graves, we are at a period in time when humanity is in great danger. He was concerned with overpopulation. Graves believed that we are nearly out of resources of many kinds, thus running into great difficulties ahead. In his original manuscript, which we have made available as The Never-Ending Quest, Dr. Graves wrote the following. No words that I shall ever pen will be more condemned or less hailed than those which I shall now commit to paper. But be that as it may, they must be written, for the future of mankind may well rest upon man's ability to extricate himself from living within the American ways of life. Those states for existence which come to be when the ER, the selfishly independent system of human behavior, begins to emerge. This statement will be heretical to some, communistic to others, and anarchistic to many. But let me explain what is meant by the assertion. This world, as we all know, is full of paradoxes. But of all that exist, the most paradoxical, it seems to me, is the one which arises when man's need for independence begins to emerge. As man starts his transition from the absolutistic form for existence, the ordered, authoritarian, submissive way of life, and as man moves through the stage of independence on into the sociocentric ways of being, five definable and describable states of existence emerge, one after another, in our ordered hierarchical way. These five states, each of which has a strong flavor of selfish independence in them, have brought more that is good to man and more that is bad for him than all states of existence which preceded them. No states of existence prior to these five have given man more power over the physical universe, more verifiable knowledge, or a greater increase in his material welfare than have they. But no states are more certain to pave the way for man's demise than these five, unless we can move, at least the leadership of man, beyond these states where man believes that the epitome of human living lies somewhere with one or some of the ER states of existence. As students of the spiral dynamics application know, Dr. Graves is referring to the nodal fifth level, plus the two transitional states preceding and following ER Orange. In 1978, he repeated this warning about the difficulty of change when he said this about the energy crunch. Quote, "The closest illustration that I can give to you of this is 4 or 5 years ago, we had an energy crisis, and we got awfully close. And we saw in the behavior of many people beginning to think in a seventh-level way about the use of energy in this country. They started to truly conserve, You had people, a tremendous number in this country, who were doing an honest-to-God job of conserving. Conditions changed. They got the idea that they had been taken in, that there wasn't any real energy crisis. They went back. They never quite got over the critical point, and so they reverted back to the thinking in the materialistic way about energy again. You find that bouncing back and forth, end quote. In light of the disaster triggered by the BP oil well blowout in the Gulf of Mexico and the ongoing arguments about energy today, Dr. Graves's caution is as applicable now as it was 30 years ago. Indeed, most of his remarks in NEQ about Vietnam are equally pertinent to Iraq and Afghanistan right now. So let's ask, why is transformative change so difficult, either for individuals or large-scale systems? In 1977, Dr. Graves commented, and this is a quote, "What this point of view says is that the ways man has lived so far in his existence have produced such severe problems for him that in order for him to deal with the problems that are now facing him, there must be activated in his brain an incredible amount of capacity that is there but is latent and has not been used until this period of time. If this does become activated, we have no reason whatsoever to fear what is going to happen in the future. We have every reason to feel that things are going to get better for us," end quote. In another statement, he added, and quote again, this is a long one, "I am not saying in this conception of adult behavior that one style of being, one form of human existence, is inevitably and in all circumstances superior to or better than another form of human existence, another style of being. And what I am saying is that when one form of existence ceases to be functional for the realities of existence, then some other form, either higher or lower in the hierarchy, is the better form of living. I do suggest, however, and this I deeply believe is so, that for the overall welfare of total man's existence in this world, over the long run of time, higher levels are better than lower levels, and that the prime good of any society's governing figures should be to promote human movement up the levels of human existence," end quote. Dr. Graves was basically suggesting that new times require new thinking. Movement between systems relates to the resolution and the creation of problems of living. As one resolves the problems of living which he or she is now confronted with, one begins to create new problems of existence. Living a certain way, by its very nature, produces problems of existence. As you live the ER way, which is the highly materialistic way that so many people in this society and others live now, you produce the problem of scarcity of material things. That's a new problem of existence you have to deal with. Now, as those new problems are produced, they in turn are that which produces the chemical changes in the organism which activate the next higher neurological system. But in order to get that next higher neurological system fully activated, you have to have a certain critical amount of the necessary releaser chemicals in the system. And this is very hard to come by unless the problems remain constant. Each system is superordinate over other systems. That means that the first system develops, then the second system develops, and it takes and includes the first system in it. When the third system develops, it includes the second system in it. By the time you get up to the fourth level in the total system of the human's behavior, this first system is very small. It's almost infinitesimal. You would hardly notice it at all in the person's behavior, but it is there. And given the right conditions, it will out. All right. The emergent cyclical double helix model describes, explains, and suggests means for managing the biopsychosocial development for the species Homo sapiens, or any individual. As a theory, it proposes that, 1. The biopsychosocial development of the mature human arises from the interaction of a double helix complex of two sets of determining forces, the environmental social determinants, the existential problems of living, and the neuropsychological equipment of the organism. The neuropsychological equipment for living. 2. The biopsychosocial development of the mature human is an unfolding, emergent, oscillating, spiraling process marked normally by the progressive subordination of older, lower-order, less complex biopsychosocial systems. 3. These systems alternate between a focus upon the external world and attempts to change it, left hemisphere brain domination, and focus upon the inner world and how to come to peace with it, right hemisphere brain domination, with the aim and means of each systemic end changing in each alternately prognostic system. In his research, the express self subtypes were express self but not at the expense of others, express self calculatedly but never so blatantly as to raise another's ire, and express self to hell with others. And there were three sacrifice types. Sacrifice self now to the ways of the times in order to get now, sacrifice now to get later, and sacrifice self forever to the... The sacrifice self systems, numbers 2, 4, and 6, are all obeisance systems. The express self systems, 3, 5, and 7, are all change systems, but how and what to change in each system is different. Each system has a general thema for existence, and each central thema for existence is particularizable into almost an infinite number of ways for peripheral expression. 4. Humans, therefore, tend normally to change their biopsychosocial being as the conditions of their existence change. Each successive stage, wave, or level of existence is a state through which developing people pass on their way to other states of being. 5. When the human is centralized in one state of existence, he or she has a psychology which is particular to that state. His or her feelings, motivations, ethics, and values, biochemistry, degree of neurological activation, learning system, belief systems, conception of mental health, ideas as to what mental illness is and how it should be treated, conceptions of and preferences for management, education, economics, and political theory, and practices are all appropriate to that state. 6. In some cases, a person may not be genetically or constitutionally equipped to change in the normal, upward, hierarchically ordered, more complex direction when the person's conditions of existence change. 7. A person may stabilize, existential conditions being right, at any one or a combination of levels in the hierarchy. 8. A person may show the behavior of a level in a predominantly positive or negative manner. 9. He or she may, under certain circumstances, regress to a system lower in the hierarchy. 10. A person may settle, for specifiable organismic or environmental reasons, into what appears to be a fixated and relatively closed system, rather than be in the usual open state of development. 11. Human existence can be likened to a symphony with six themes, which repeat in higher order form every set of six. In a symphony, the composer normally begins by stating his themes in the simplest possible manner. In the developing, emergent process that is human existence, our species begins by stating in the simplest way those themes which will occupy us through history with almost infinite variations. These themes for living, A-N, B-O, C-P, etc., change as the human solves current problems of existence and, in their solution, creates new problems of existence. The first six, for example, tell the story of adult development in a world of naturalistic abundance. The second order systems tells the story of how psychological... 12. At this point in our history, The societally effective leading edge of humanity in the technologically advanced nations is currently finishing the initial statement of the sixth FS state of existence. As the United States, though temporarily stalled in a regressive phase, is beginning again with the first theme in a new and more sophisticated form of survivalistic living, the seventh, the A-prime-N-prime existential level. That is, some humans have reached the point of finishing the first and most primitive spiral of existence, the one concerned with basic survival, and the development of individual independence and with the ways of existence to foster it. But at this time, human life is beginning to experience threats to existence created by the cumulative effect of the first six ways of being, namely the creation of a whole new set of survival problems. Thus, many humans have started to think about, and some of them are well into thinking, according to the ways of a second spiral of existence, the being-level systems. These humans have truly started to think of the interdependence of existence rather than an individualized, independent existence. Thus, we see that the six themes for existence may constantly repeat if humanity continues to exist and, in existing, constantly solves and constantly creates new problems of existence. Such a stately succession of themes and movements is the general pattern of the levels of existence. 13. Each movement up the levels of human existence has resulted in an increase in the conceptual space of Homo sapiens. And 14. 9 fixated exiting, 9 open nodal, and 9 entering states plus mixed states have appeared to date. This is the end of the theoretical summary of this presentation. Next, we will look at descriptions of each of the individual levels of existence according to Dr. Graves.